Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listening, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listening podcast. So, this is part two of our episode with Stacey Paris. Last week we released part one, which is we doubled up. Obviously, we're halfway through top five misconceptions around disability and also top five science facts. My brain's still hurting from the science fact, and my jaw's still on the floor from some of the things that Stacey's had to experience around her disability. So I had to jump on and do this little intro because we had all intentions of this being a one-part episode, but because the chat was so good and we didn't want it to stop, it's become a two-parter. So this is a quick, short intro. So we'll head over to our sponsors now and then we'll drop the episode. So enjoy. Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. I, for one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot. So it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall makes sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car is a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like, build out your dream garage. You know, what's caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
Download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, why I'm here, have I mentioned the Land Rover Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old XMOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown.
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
No, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katie Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right. Oh dear. Well, what should we have? What should we have a factoid on?
Well, are we going to catch up with, because we're on number 2 of the science facts. So shall we catch up? Shall we have a few more disability ones?
Yes.
Disability misconceptions first, I think.
Right. So this is one of my pet hates, and although it doesn't seem like a huge deal, when you get this on a daily basis, it pisses you off. And that is people changing their tone of voice to talk to you and making an automatic judgment on what you are able to do and who, what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
Just by looking at you.
Oh,
and I mean, when I say it happens a lot, I mean, I haven't really done a lot. I've been at the house a couple of times since the weekend, but I was at a party at the weekend, and the thing is, it was all meant in a nice way.
Yeah.
But what I was noticing was, like, I'd be like, excuse me, like, trying to get through, and people would see me and they'd see the walking stick that I need to use at the moment, and they'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay there? Do you need a glass of water? Do you want some help? And I'm like, I just
need a glass of water.
I just need past. And it got to a point where it was making me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Now, I purposely didn't say anything because I didn't want to ruffle feathers.
No.
I was you know, it's well-meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it's this whole perception people have on disability again. You know, like,
yeah,
I'm not able to walk across the fucking room by myself.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I need help. I need everyone to run about doing things for me. And it, after a while, it grates on you a bit. And you're standing there thinking, do 75% of the people in this place think that I am incapable of looking after myself?
Yeah, because you don't want people feeling sorry for you. There's a difference between like empathising and going, you know, I can only imagine that's been challenging for you. There's a difference to thinking that to going, like you say, like feeling sorry and then treating people wrong. And again, it's like, you know, a lot of the time it's coming from someone, you know, coming from a good place. So you know, a lot of the time you're not going to kick someone in the nuts for it. But after a while, it's like if you're constantly confronted with that behavior, it's kind of like, no, honestly, I just want to be I want to be treated just like you, to be honest with you. You know, I'll let you know if there's anything different, but yeah,
Because if a
lot of my problem is I have always been known to be fiercely independent. This is my recovery. This is, you know, it's my body. It's my walk-in. It's me that has to put in the hard work. And I think sort of over the years, with a lot of how I got treated on a normal day, on a good day, it stopped me actually, you know, saying to people that I didn't know and trust, I need help. And, you know, I keep hearing recently, it's a strength to ask for help. And I'm still learning that skill. But when people are coming at you like that, it is a lot more difficult to be able to ask for help when people are already treating you like you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah. The next person that I say excuse me to when I'm walking through the club next Friday, when they turn around, I'm literally then going to ask them if they want a glass of water and just see how mental they will look at me. Because it's not normal, is it, to go, oh God, do you want a glass of water? Can I? And it's like, no, can you just move to the left a little bit just so I can walk past, please?
I mean, at this point, like, point in the night, I had like 4 or 5 drunk 20-somethings coming at me, giving it, tell me if you need anything. And I'm like, from you, like, you cannot put one foot in front of the other. Fine, but come on now.
Oh, dear.
And the thing is, like, I know fine well, if I had have said something and been like, that's making me feel really uncomfortable, it would have been dealt with. It was my choice not to ruffle feathers, which...
Yeah.
Now, this has been recorded. You've no idea how big a deal of this. I think potentially I made the wrong choice by not saying something. But at the time, I just didn't want to bring attention to myself in that sort of way. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm okay. I can deal with this. And then after the 5th or 6th time, interspersed with people coming over and going, what happened to your legs? Like, I'm like, hi, I'm Stacey.
Fucking hell.
Oh, I get that all the time as well. And the only time I don't mind that one is when it's kids. Because...
Yeah,
because
they've got that level of innocence. They don't have that sort of filter or...
I mean, kids will stare and, you know, they'll say, like, mum or dad, what's wrong with that lady's legs? Let your kids ask.
Please tell me you've got some really, really fucked up things that you tell kids. Please.
Oh, no, I'm a robot. The easiest way to explain it to young kids is to tell them that my legs got very poorly, so the doctor took them away and brought me back some fancy schmancy robot legs. And easy peasy. Do you know how easily they just go, oh, right, okay, and they want a good look at them. But you get parents and people with kids that are like, you know, don't stare, don't look. No, don't teach them that I'm different. And then it's not okay to ask about, you know, what's wrong with my legs. Yeah. Like, that's not a helpful thing to do. Just let them be curious. And if you teach them from a young age that everybody's different, some people do use a wheelchair, some people do use sticks or walking aids, prosthetics, some people can talk, some people can't, some people can see, some people can't. You know, like, teach them that it's normal. Don't pull them away from wanting to ask questions.
Absolutely.
Well, but if you're an adult, do not walk up to me and say, what happened to your legs, before I even know your goddamn name.
It is so weird, isn't it? To, like, as you said, when you, what you said earlier, it was just like the thought that somebody would come up and ask you something about your appearance before, and as you said, oh, hi, I'm Stacey. It's fucking surreal. That,
yeah, because you, I mean, wouldn't, can you imagine walking up to, and like, just any person in the street and being like, what's wrong with your leg, what's wrong with your elbow, why does your hair look like that?
I'll just stop you there. If I was walking through the high street and I saw Chris, I would walk up and say, what the fuck's going on with your hair? I think I'd have every right to, Stacey.
Passive aggressive, mate.
And you wouldn't walk up to somebody and be like, what's wrong with your kid?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing. just because I have a disability doesn't make it okay to come up and interrogate me before even introducing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Like, just be a normal, just be normal. Yeah. That's probably how you want to be treated. Just, like, you know, and not like an elephant in the room.
Else. Like, I keep saying, all I want is to be treated the same as you would treat anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, like, from that from our first chat, how you talk and how you confront it. You kind of want it to be normal. You want it to be able to see the gallows humour in your circumstances. And you said some amazing things. Like, one of the things I mentioned at the start of this podcast is, you know, like, how do you compare that to what other people have gone through? Or and you kind of, you said, I don't know if that was a question I asked, but you basically said that it's the worst, you know, everybody's worst thing that's happened to them is the worst thing that's happened to them.
And it's the same as the worst thing that's happened to me.
Yeah.
Because it invokes the same feelings, the same fear, the same worry, you know, the same sort of natural reactions. It's the same, regardless of whether you think my worst is worse than yours or your worst is worse than mine. It's all the same.
Yeah. And I do think that's quite an interesting, like, leveller. And it makes everyone human and on the ability to like, empathise with each other's situation, which is what I was talking about earlier, without having to sit there and just feel sorry and treat people, you know, in a way that diminishes them, diminishes their humanity, I guess. Yeah.
Should we have a science fact?
Go on, and a science fact this shit.
Right, let's see what I've got for you now. So we're on the fourth one. Right, mm-hmm. This is one of my favourite ones. So we evolved from the seas between 500 and 600 million years ago from sort of single-cell organisms that relied solely on osmosis and simple diffusion to get their nutrients. So it basically went from outside through a simple cell membrane to inside and was used. When we started to evolve onto land, we started to evolve closed circulatory systems. So, you know, what we would know as our heart and sort of lungs and veins and all these things, because as we grew more complex, the simple diffusion didn't work. We needed the same nutrients that we needed when we were in the sea. So because of that, our blood components, the salts and, you know, phosphates and the minerals that we have in our blood that gets pushed through membranes into cells and used for various different things in the body is still roughly the same, very similar to the composition of the seas that we evolved from.
That's Stu. Look at Stu's face, Stacey. Like, even like half, as soon as you started saying we evolved from single cell organisms, his brain started to drop out.
Can monkey swim?
Oh, God, Stu.
From the sea.
Why is that your question?
Well, we come from monkeys, right?
You're the missing link, mate.
But how? I've never seen a monkey swim. So how were monkeys in the sea?
Well, one, I think monkeys can swim, and two, we're going way further back than monkeys.
Yeah,
baby monkeys.
Very, very baby monkeys. Like, you know, little sea monkeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, more like that.
Right,
we're born sea monkeys.
Right, I'm on board now. Gotcha.
Yeah, far. Well done, Stacey. You've saved that. So in a nutshell, was you saying there? Because I mean, it lost me a little bit, and my tiny little brains. Are you saying we eat the same thing we ate as when we were plankton? Effectively,
the same basic nutrients as when we were, you know, just single cellular organisms or very simple sort of worms and other beasties that started on the land. But because we used to get them directly from the fluid we were in, you know, that's the when we evolved sort of the closed systems, that was still what we needed. You know, the minerals and the nutrients that seawater would have provided for us. So therefore, that's what we got. The same sort of makeup.
Yeah.
That you know, was what we needed when we were doing things by diffusion.
That's mad. We have spirulina and weird shit like that now in our house. And it's like all this, it's like...
I'm sorry, but why?
Yeah, I mean... I mean, we put it in these milkshakes and smoothies. It does taste good once you mask it. But it is like, that's all like the sum of the superfoods now, isn't it? Is all this like stuff they just drag out of the ocean dry, put it into a powder.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, this is the one, this is really good for you. I can get with that. That makes sense. It's like, I was watching one of these vegan documentaries and... it was saying, you know, no, I've lost myself now. I've lost my own train of thought. That, you know...
I think I know where you was going.
All you're going to... Really, all those cows and stuff that you end up eating, eat sort of vegetables or grass, and they're super strong. So why do you need to eat the cow? Why don't you go straight to the sort of like the vegetables that they're eating?
Grass is rank, mate.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't think I really want to be outside lying face down chomping on the grass.
Nah, nor me, mate. Nor me.
Unless someone's dropped like a bag of McDonald's chips on the grass, then maybe I'll do that.
So I just need to join
you. Cue an absolutely stupid question. Go.
No, I've just got so many questions on this. So, the monkeys are eating fish, right? And stuff like that. Yeah. And then as they evolve and come out the water from swimming to walking.
Right.
No.
What year? Like, what sort of.
Just no, Stu.
Decade. All right, what century then did
we're
they.
Talking-
just- Did they discover bananas?
600 million years ago.
Yeah.
Remember, the Earth is amphibians. Years old. So we're not going back like to the start of the Earth.
Right.
We are going back a few hundred million years.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, when you see like the PG Tips adverts in the 80s and the 70s with the monkeys, they're eating bananas then, and I know monkeys still eat bananas now. So I get what you're saying. I get the fact.
I think you don't have a clue of what Stacey's talking about, Stu.
There's stuff in my cupboard that, like, I bought the other day. I don't imagine they're particularly nice, but there was a spicy meatball thing that I saw in the pan shop, and I just thought, I'm going to try that. It's a pound. I don't imagine it's particularly good meat, but that weren't about then. I've only saw that, and I go in the pan shop a lot, and I only saw that for the first time a couple of weeks ago. So there's no way, even in the 60s or 70s, or probably even in the 80s, people were eating that. So there's flaws in your science, Stace.
I think what me and Stacey are realising is you were in the bottom set for science, and you sat at the back of that class, didn't you?
100%.
I don't think you've been to that class right now. Well, standing at the corridor picking his nose.
Well, that's so weird, because that is my only story from science, was when I got the letter home for putting a bogey under a microscope. And Well, it wasn't actually me. It was our mutual friend, DJ Destruction. And,
animal.
And then 15 years later, at a gig in London, we was playing. He pulled all his records and his bits and pieces for his decks inside his old school bag. And we were sitting there before we went on, and he was just emptying stuff out. And he was like, what's this? He'd found his letter home from the school about putting the bogey under the microscope and hid it, whereas my mum and dad opened mine and I got in trouble. He hid it and he found it 15 years later.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, you learn different things in science.
You do.
My teacher's name was Mrs. Kerr, and it was very, very rumoured that her son was Wayne. I hope that's true.
Wayne Kerr. Incredible. So, an incredible fact, we basically eat the same shit we did 200, 300, 400 million years ago when we were... What did you call us then when we're single-celled organisms? We absorbed it by what? Single-celled organisms. What was we absorbing it by? What did you say it was?
Simple diffusion and...
Simple diffusion.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, it's not... It's more the same minerals and salts and compounds that are in our blood that our body uses that we have, you know, in common with our 500, 600 million year old ancestors.
Incredible.
So you say
they're not that far apart for you, Stu, in terms
so
of.
So you saying at one point we didn't like have 50. A mouth?
Yeah. What?
You say we didn't have mouths at one point?
No, we didn't have mouths.
Didn't have mouths.
We were single cell organisms, and then we sort of like probably became fish. Then we became amphibians.
I get all of that. Everyone got
mouths. Our skin wasn't waterproof. It went through our skin.
Just went through our skin. A bit like plants absorb the sun. I'm not actually going to go there. Don't ignore what I just said.
I feel like I'm trying to explain this to a primary school kid.
I think that's probably the best way to approach this episode.
Are we going to have, let's have a disability fact because I think you've done two of those. So we could have two more of those and then we'll be both at the number one spots.
Right.
And we might even split this into two parts, Shu. Might do this as a two-parter maybe. Exciting.
Woohoo! Right, I'm just going to get my dog, Essie. She keeps jumping up at the window, so...
harassing.
I'm just waiting on her barking again. Like, settle down.
Settle down now.
She doesn't listen to me anyway. Oh, let's see. So, there are a lot of people that seem to think when you have a disability, it affects your brain. I mean, unless it does actually affect your brain.
Yeah.
That's a whole different kettle of fish.
Of course.
But it's like they think that you're dumb or, you know, useless. You know, every disabled person ever is on benefits and sitting at home all day, getting everything paid for them. And I mean, you know, there are a special category for those sort of people. They just hate everything that's not them. However, and it's like, why would you think that, you know, using a wheelchair or having any sort of disability would automatically make you stupid or make you less capable or mean that you couldn't go out and like work and or study or achieve what you wanted to achieve? And there are a lot of people out there that think that, and this goes all the way up to sort of institutional levels as well. I was basically told by a study advisor, if I wanted the same chance as everybody else, you know, if they're asking for a 2-1 degree classification, I'd be better getting a first. And my only sort of reply to him about that was, well, that's not the same chance as everyone else. Because basically, they would still look at me as having a disability put me at a disadvantage.
Academically? Right.
Yes.
That's fucking mad.
Yeah.
And in a practical setting, oh my God, could she stand up or, you know, get me a chair? Could you, you know, there are things that can easily be put in place to help people like me have the same opportunity without having to outgrade everyone else or, you know, having 10 people in the queue for these two places and, you know, three of them have a disability, you know fine well that those are the last three people in the queue. And it is simply just because, again, the whole way that disability gets looked at. And I think there's a big failing somewhere about teaching kids about anything that's different. And I think if that was taught from a really young age to all kids, you know, maybe they wouldn't grow up being so goddamn judgmental about everything. Because I'm the first one to admit, before I became a disabled adult, like I was your bog standard normal teenager kid, early 20-somethings. I had absolutely no idea as to the treatment that people with disabilities got. When I lost my leg, to me it was like, right, okay, bad leg's gone, let's get up and get on with it.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole nother world. It was like automatically people started treating me differently. And I've never managed to get my head around why.
How did that materialise then? How were they treating you differently, Stacey? What was the sort of things that you started to notice?
There's a lot of pity. And I hate that. Don't pity me. You know, anything you can do to a limit. I mean, I have my physical limitations. But, you know, academically, I got my advisor for this year. And the only thing she had to say to me were, your scores are exceptional last year. And I was like, cool. Got that down then.
Yeah.
And then it went into a whole sort of, you know, if we had to do a residential school, you could do it online instead of coming to it. And I'm thinking, why would I want to, like, miss out on, like, the opportunity to do more practical stuff?
Yeah.
And just sit at home and watch you lot doing it?
Yeah.
And it was even though she had noticed that my scores were really good, she still treated me differently without even asking me if I felt like I could, you know, attend this school. And
what's the best way to approach that, Stacey, then? How for people listening?
Ask.
What's a, just ask. And how to phrase, how would you phrase that? What's a good sort of way to approach it, you know, in that way?
Ask if people need help.
Yeah.
Like we said, like,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The term disability encompasses everything. So, you know, even someone with, you know, leg amputations, they might be completely different from me. They might want everything done for them, which is their prerogative. Mm-hmm. Go for it if that's you. The easiest way to find out what someone like me would need is ask me. And don't be afraid to ask me. Like, you're not asking me, you know, if it's okay to run my mum over, which, by the way, it is not. you know, you're asking me if you can make things easier for me. Don't assume that I'm going to say, yes, I need your help. But also, just ask.
Yeah. So would that be something like, is there anything... And forgive me because I'm just shooting from the hip here. So this is from an ignorant person, I guess. But can I help? Is there any adjustments I need to make? Or do you need a hand with anything?
Yeah, in this, that's absolutely fine. Like, that's no problem with that at all. But what a lot of people... So we'll take me getting on and off a train. You know, big step up. And I can do it. Like, if I'm sitting on the train when you see me getting up to get off, I got on the fucking train somehow. I didn't fly on. I didn't jump on. I didn't just appear.
Yeah.
And then when I'm getting off the train, you know, a couple of people are quite good and they'll say, do you need a hand? You know, do you want my arm or something like that?
I think I would do that. Like, I mean, is that good or bad?
That's good. That's the way you should do it. Right. Ask if someone needs help. What I get is people grabbing me, automatically assuming that I need them to drag me off the damn train.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Don't touch me. Like, stay away from me. And it's like, why would you... I mean, you wouldn't do that to an elderly person, or you wouldn't just get off the train and grab someone's, like, pushchair or pram. You would say, do you want a hand with that? Or can I help you? You wouldn't just grab somebody. So I don't understand why it's okay to just start pushing someone in a wheelchair or assuming that someone needs your help, but not asking them or telling them you're going to grab them. That's a way to make me fall down the side of the train.
Yeah.
But it's things like that where people just assume because I have a disability or because I look like I'm struggling with my mobility a little bit. And at times I do right now, but I still don't want to be manhandled.
No. So Sue just acted like he was all like PC there, saying he'd offer you a hand. But when I've seen him do this and people accept, he'll support you, but from your bum.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen. Yeah. I've seen you do that with elderly women, you know, men. With
I was going to say the occasional man.
Oh, yeah, it's nothing. No, stop.
That's never been the issue. The issue appears to be the fact that I haven't got trousers and pants on. That's the thing that everyone seems to frown upon.
Yeah, that would be... I'd be needing to get my ruler out to make sure you weren't really touching me.
Yeah. Believe me, that couldn't touch you.
Oh, dear. Okay. So, one more disability...
One more track of each.
Oh, okay.
So we're at the top spot of each, are we now, basically? Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, what one do you want to hit us with first then, Stace? What do you want to go with?
Just before you do, again, Glasson, your hair's insane.
Thanks, mate.
It makes no sense. You look like...
It's like a rhino horn now.
Yeah.
That's why it's great. Because here's a fact. Do you want a science fact? A rhino horn's made out of hair.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's hair. It's tough hair.
It's not.
It is.
It's bone, isn't it?
No, it's hair. That, compressed hair.
It's not. You couldn't style that.
It's hair, mate. Look it up. Google it right now.
I haven't got to. I've seen them.
Right.
They're rock hard.
What's a rhino's horn made of, right? Their horn is made from the same stuff as our fingernails. Oh, it's made up of keratin, the same protein which forms the base of our hair and nails. Okay. So it isn't like hair, but it's keratin. It is made of the same stuff. It's not ivory or bone.
It's not hair, though, is it? It's the
same stuff. All right, I was a little bit wrong.
Oh, right, okay.
There or thereabouts.
Stace, do you want to actually give us something that's factually correct?
New science.
Right, I'm trying to work out a way to lead gently into this.
Okay. I'm just going to watch Stu's face.
Nitrogen. Right, Stu, are you keeping up with me here?
Oh, unbelievable. My front door's gone as well, guys. 2 seconds, sorry.
Unreal. I now feel like I want someone to knock on my door now.
Oh, have you got no friends today?
I haven't. He's back.
Wait, he just answered his door.
I'm back. Sorry. With my horn. I answered the door with the horn. Not for the first time.
Oh, dear.
Right, so we were at nitrogen.
Right, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Dinitrogen. Two nitrogen atoms joined by three extremely strong covalent bonds. Okay? It's basically the strongest chemically bonded, naturally known compound.
Gotcha. Okay?
There are only a couple of things within nature that can break these bonds.
Oh, okay.
Now, we're not talking about it. Scientists have just shot calcium at it and found that it'll break or induced... Right, I'm going to say these words. I'll explain them. Induced nitrogen fixation. So this is how it happens in nature.
Right.
So the first thing that can break these bonds is lightning.
Wow. Then, yeah. Excellent.
So lightning strikes and the electrical current splits them apart and they join with two oxygen molecules, which, that's normally taken down into the soil and utilised.
Incredible.
The other one is microorganisms known as diazotrophs, which is things like bacteria and other little tiny... If I get too into this, it'll get really confusing. Yeah. So there's one bacteria that called Azotobacter that does this. And they're strong enough to use or to utilize the energy, because when you break these bonds, you get energy.
Releases. Yeah.
So to be able to use that energy, it would normally take a lot of energy put in to break the bonds, which kind of makes it null and void.
Right.
But these microorganisms have a way of doing it where they get more energy from the breaking of the bonds than they use to break the bonds.
Gotcha. Right.
And that nitrogen is turned into ammonia, which is NH3, which is nitrogen and 3 hydrogen.
Gotcha.
So the only two things in Earth that can break nitrogen bonds are microorganisms called diazotrophs and lightning.
So there's a microorganism out there that's as strong or stronger than lightning.
Yep.
That's pretty dope.
That one... I really had to look that up because I was like, surely not. And I scoured. And a lot of what I found was, so the breaking of the bonds is the nitrogen fixation. So you're basically trying to get the energy out of the nitrogen. And there's a lot of experiments. I think the latest one was kind of published about March of this year. So they're going on just now to try and find a way to be able to safely use the nitrogen and the energy it provides without having to use all this energy. Like before, when if they wanted to do it manually, if they wanted to induce it, it would take a lot of heat, a lot of power, a lot of energy to break down these bonds. Mm-hmm. And they've recently found out that calcium can do it without using all that heat energy and all the other types of energy it was using, and it can do it at a temperature of minus 60 degrees.
Oh, so that's quite easy to get to then, basically. They can do that.
Well, say quite easy. This has been going on for a few years. But, yeah, two things in nature. So you have...
Amazing.
They're basically trying to find something that has the power of bacteria or the power of lightning.
And then we can utilize that like we would basically, nuclear plants. Wow.
Nitrogen is one of the most abundant gases in the world. It makes up about 78% of our atmosphere.
Yeah.
So it would kind of be good to be able to use that.
Absolutely. Stu?
When you talk about like breaking bonds and like and splitting atoms, like, when they do that, like I've always wondered this, like
strapping, Stacey.
I know, like scientists normally put things on like little, like glass, like rectangular things, don't they? And then look at it under microscopes and stuff like that. So, like, can you see it like that? And like, because if you can, and lightning can do it. I mean, I'm being serious. Like, if you really hit it with a proper fucking hammer. Like, could you break it?
Could you break the bot? They're too small. Yeah, you can see it happening under special types of microscopes that, have hundreds and hundreds of sort of times the magnification.
What you use to masturbate with, maybe you could use that same microscope. You wouldn't.
I love the fact that the dog's laughing there.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Essie. Fucking hell. Down. It's a different postman. He doesn't like you.
This will give you some time, Stu, to think about it. Yes, no, you can't hit it with a hammer, Stu. No. I'm surprised that night, like even lightning, I don't know how they know that lightning hits it and breaks it down. Is that just in the air? It just hits it, makes contact with it in the air as it's travelling through the air and it splits it and like it, that?
Well, remember 78% of the atmosphere, it's also used by plants.
So it's just doing it right.
In the soil, it's nitrogen is everywhere.
Mm. So lightning just rips through it. Right, yeah. Okay.
And the energy from the lightning can break the bonds. Imagine the electrical current of lightning, and that's what it takes to just break these three little bonds.
Madness.
It's... What's thunder?
Oh, God.
Does thunder cause the lightning?
No, the thunder's just the sound of lightning.
Lies. That's lies and guesswork, right? Thunder,
right. Yeah.
Lightning,
the thunder is just lightning further away, possibly, if that's how you're hearing it different.
Lightning is what you see, thunder is the sound. No. Like, thunder's a rumble. Like, lightning's like a striking sound, isn't it?
Thunder is the sound caused by lightning. That's literally Google it. What is thunder? Right. Thunder is the sound caused by lightning.
Just because you're sitting
beginning there. Beginning and end of science.
Well, let me tell you how science works, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So science comes from discussion, right? And you're just throwing facts at me. Right. And any scientist, right? And I put myself in that bracket, right? Any scientist, right? worth their weight will question that. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to move science forward, Chris.
You're not. You're trying to force us back into the dark ages, mate.
It was a lot easier in the Flintstones.
Can I just intercept here? Stu, he's right.
Please.
He's right.
Thank you. So
the thunder and lightning are caused by the same thing, which is...
Bad weather.
Well, it's the conditions, the atmospheric conditions... And the flash of lightning is the electrical discharge from those atmospheric conditions. Gotcha. But it also causes the sound.
Causes the sound, mate. All right.
We have to agree to disagree on this.
All right, well, we'll agree to disagree. It's a great fact, Stacey. Thank you very much. And you have one last one for us from the things that... Bugbear.
We are now going to get on to the subject of dating. Whew.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's a minefield for anybody. Especially, I think, in sort of this technological age where everybody wants to swipe left and right to find the one. I don't know how the hell you're supposed to do that. But with... Now, a friend of mine had posted a little while ago. Now, I'm not sure what the name of the podcast was, but they put out a question to their listeners. Would you date a disabled person?
Fucking hell.
Uh-huh. And it was like, way to single us out, guys. And, I mean, I only caught wind of this because of the, and quite rightly, the outrage.
The sort of people that will put their hands on their knees and lean over someone in a wheelchair and go, oh, you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah. And it was like it's hard enough now because, I mean, we've heard all through this that there is a lot of judgment. And with dating, it's a double-edged sword, really. But it weeds out the people that are definitely not for me, because if you judge me on my legs or you are not okay with my legs, you are not the one for me.
That's an auto-exclusion.
But when I first sort of lost my legs, I was quite hesitant to tell anyone that I was going to date or wanted to date or wanted to get to know that to start with, I was missing my legs.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell, you know, if I was standing there in a pair of jeans or anything like that, you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
But what I'd found is that if I held off telling people, you know, they're kind of like, oh, I like you, you like me. And I'm like, well, actually, I have, like, I lost both my legs. Whew, see ya. And I'm like, well, why is that such a big deal? And there's also people out there.
But surely, say, sorry to interject there, but surely, like, if the conversation's going well and everything seems to be going great, then initially that physical attraction's there, and then obviously the conversation's obviously going well, so you're connecting, and then to then just retract that because you've it must be fucking weird for you just sitting there thinking, for some reason I feel like I have to go, oh, by the way, like, that's strange that you should feel like that's something you need to kind of tell someone, you know. Yeah. It's like, why should it?
And that it's such a big deal.
Yeah.
But it really is. And I've seen on a lot of forums where there's a lot of people with disabilities, you know, do you tell someone like straight out, or do you wait till a bit down the line to tell them? And my view on it now is it's who I am, or it's part of who I am. It's not who I am, but it's part of me. And if you want to date me, you're getting all of me. Like, you know, I can't just be sort of my personality or whatever, like, attracted you to me, but not my legs, because it's part of me. And I don't understand. I've never understood what the hell difference it makes whether the person you're with is, you know, doing backflips in the garden or sitting with their legs propped up against the wall. If you get on with... See, I think my problem as well is I'm a bit of like a hopeless romantic when it comes to dating. I'd rather do things the old-fashioned way. Like, you know, this, meet someone in a natural way, you know, in a coffee shop or at a bar or at a party or something like that, and not this sort of swipe left, swipe right, awkward chat, let's meet. No, go away. Like, that must be tedious for anyone.
I think, Stacey, weirdly, just to interject just quickly, is that people are so, from what I can tell, like the dating apps in this day and age, everyone's got ADHD with dating anyway. Like, so people sort of match and then don't bother talking. And then are put off by such a multitude of stupid things that, you know, I guess people, that's just another thing that people are just like, oh, don't. Like, they just make such
knee-jerk,
shallow decisions on someone.
It's very, how do you know that you're even going to get on with someone from the picture? Like, you don't. And I think when you are someone like me, it becomes, you know, tenfold more difficult, especially if you want to try and do it online. I mean, to me, dating apps just seem like a massive ego boost for people. Like, look how many people I've matched with, or look how many people like me. And you're like, I'm not looking for 156 people. Just the one to spend time with is fine. And people get confused when I say, I wouldn't want to get to know someone to have them look after me, but I'd like to know that someone would be able to.
Absolutely, yeah.
Completely. And I think coming from me, a lot of people find that weird because, you know, the first thing they think is, what, you need a carer? No, and so what if I did? That doesn't make me any less of a person.
Absolutely.
And I have actually, you know, I've had people lie to me about why they're not interested. I've had them being hurtful and brutally honest. about why they're not interested. And now it gets easier when you're just like, you know, hi, by the way, this is who I am. Don't like it. Now's your chance to leave, sort of thing. Mm. Not so much in that defensive sort of way, but I'm always just like, so you know, I'm a double amputee.
Yeah.
If you can't deal with that, that's your shit.
I'd definitely throw in the mix that your legs are made of gold.
Well, yeah.
Get that in there now, Stacey. Absolutely. But they are gold. Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's a difficult thing. And especially when you've got, you know, podcasts making episodes of would you date someone with a disability? Like,
no way you can frame that into anything that's going to have any benefits.
No, it's completely ableist. Like, what, do you expect someone to come on and go, oh, yes, I absolutely would? Like, okay, but why should it matter whether they have a disability or not? Why is it not just about the person?
Yeah.
And do you know what? A nice arse and, you know, a nice smile goes a long way as well, but it's about the person.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to swipe left or right now on you, Chris, with that hair, I don't think you're going to have 150 matches. You literally look like a fucking unicorn with a beard.
That's what I'm on. I'm on unicornfinder.com.
Women like unicorns as well, so you know. Okay. And then there's people that would swipe right just to ask them what the hair's about. So you never know.
You never know. You never know. In fact, my missus found me on Facebook to have a go at me about a song I played in a club. So what a weird way to meet someone. And strangely, saying this, Stacey, this all actually comes full circle in the sense that we would have never matched, me and my missus. We wouldn't have really matched on Tinder. More probably from her position than mine. But it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened in that. It was meeting each other and hanging out and talking. That's where the attraction came from, really.
Yeah, that's why I've got this whole thing about, like, let it happen naturally, but also get to know each other. You know, like, when you get to know me, I'm a hell of a lot more than a pair of legs, you know, and then it's up for you know, up to you whether you decide if you like me like that or not. Mm. But actually, like, meet me, get to know me as a person, you know, find out a bit about me. And it's quite difficult to do. And then there is the flip side of things where there are a lot of people think that I should feel lucky that someone who would never be good for me or be the right person for me has asked me out because I've got a disability and, you know, I'm not going to get that many chances. My biological clock's ticking. I mean, yeah. If that's the case, it can fucking explode before I beat one of them.
Well, in regards to people getting to know you, Stace, then, you know, I think there's two people on this screen and there's a lot of people listening to this now that will see way beyond, you know, Stacey being judged on a pair of legs. People have got a real insight into you over these episodes. And, yeah, we couldn't be more happy to have found you and have you in our lives. Like, I think you're an absolute inspiration.
Yes.
Do you want a glass of water?
Was you saying that to me so I can flatten down my hair?
With some coffee and milk, then you're on.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Stace, it's been an absolute joy, as always, talking to you. Thank you so much. We'll probably run this out over 2 weeks because this is, that's the sign of a good chat when it's, you know, approaching the 2-hour mark.
And yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't happen very often. So, again.
I'm just gobby. Rent a dog, really.
I'm still trying to work out what I'm now thinking of other variants of monkeys and what decade.
I knew you were going to go back to the bloody monkeys.
Orangutans. Like, They're massive.
If we dyed you ginger, you'd look like an orangutan.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.